Well, hello, my friend. Am I in the right place? I'm here for guided dreaming. Am I in the right skull? You might be thinking, I don't need a guide for my dreams. Well, I'm more than just a guide. I'm also a guard. I will stand at the gate of your dreams and protect you while you're vulnerable. It's like I'm standing at the door of a one-stall bathroom that you're in. I say, hey, don't go in there. My friend is in the head using it. Don't go in. See, that's what they call it on a ship, is a head, because it's a perfect comparison right there. You see, it's a private place. You can go in and think for yourself, but you put a protective barrier around it using your internal odor, you see, so nobody else wants to go in there, and you can be truly alone. And that's what your own head is like. It's a space that you can go in there and think in private and be alone and with some kind of tremendous odor that you become nose blind to. Oh, so nobody else wants to go in there. But I'm telling you, I'll go in there with you and I'll be your guide. So why can't I self-guide? Why do I need you to explain my own internal space? And I tell you, I just want you to look out for certain things. I'm there so you don't accidentally make a story of it. What's wrong with stories? Well, I tell you, stories are misleading because they imply that there's some kind of beginning, there's some kind of end, and there's some kind of point. We are looking for those little nuggets in the story that are poems, little juxtapositions of crazy things that give you some sort of feeling. That's the language of dreams. That's what we're going for. And I'm going to help you point those out and so you don't accidentally make a story. Oh, my friend, it's when I get certain kinds of granola, I'll get it with a little dried fruit in it. And I'll just go in and pick out the fruit, just like you do in marshmallows. Oh, get that marshmallow cereal. What's cereal? Cereal is the story. And the marshmallows are poems. And I'm going to pick out red hearts and blue clovers and everything like that. Eat them up. I got a little iambic pentameter caught in there, and it turns to calculus, and calculus turns to tartar. And then when you got that fighting each other, you have decay. Oh, we don't want to do that. You don't want your teeth to rot out. What happens if your teeth rot out in dreams? Look at you. You're spitting them out already. I'm sorry I said something. We haven't even started to dream, and already you're imagining that your teeth are rotting out of your head. What does that mean? I don't know. I'll look in this big book of meanings and everything. Hey, it's your book. Why don't you look in it? What does it mean if your teeth fall out? I've lost my power and I feel a little bit of guilt that maybe I did something to spit those rotten teeth out. It just means you had a bad popcorn eating memory. Oh, you don't know what kind of things are firing off in your brain. You want me to go up and look? I can crawl into your brain like that, like some kind of Star Trek Jeffries tubes. See anything up in there, Mr. Scott? No, nothing. What are you doing up in there? It's like you're using it as some sort of Japanese coffin hotel. I am. I got a little monitor up in here, and I just come in here and have some privacy because I don't want to sit in the bathroom because it smells like, well, one of you, I'm not going to say which, Spock. Woo! What do y'all eat? I don't. I eat every 7 years, and then I use the toilet every 7 years as well. That's probably what you're experiencing there. I don't want to be in Mr. Spock's head. I want to be in my own. I have enough in there and I don't understand it. Could you come with me, Hardy? I will. Hey, guided dreaming. That's what we're doing right now. Once you put those headphones on, say headphones, I use earbuds. I saw a fellow with headphones on the other day and I thought he was wearing wrestling ear protectors like that. And I said, that's good for him. Nobody wants cauliflower ear. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but oh, it's not. It's not beautiful. They have to combine it with broccoli ear now, and they have those green kind of deformed ears that people have. Oh, look at you. You're going to be in Shrek the Musical, perhaps, without any makeup. That's what's going to happen to you if you keep beating yourself up like that. Oh, let's begin in the antechamber. What's that? That's a chamber that you got to put up before you play the poker. And we're going to go into the antechamber. It's like a cave. And I want you to imagine yourself now laying in a cave. It's a warm cave. There's no bears in it. Are there bears in it? There's no bears in it. Are there bats in it? There's no bats. There's no insects. There's nothing in it. Why? Because it's a dream cave. You're all right. And I'm here anyway. That's the one thing. I'm looking around all the time. And I've been trained in all sorts of things. In Krav Maga and all that. So I know how to disarm people. Especially in dreams. There's nothing to know. It all goes from will to action so quickly. I don't have to accrue any knowledge. I don't have to go to dream school. Oh, what happens if I fall asleep in dream school? Turns into some kind of tedious movie, sci-fi movie. Anything we have to break all the laws of physics. Figures, oh, well, please. Or maybe the whole thing is being imagined. Yes, it is being imagined. It's called a movie. And then interesting. Turns out the whole thing's a fiction. When I walked in, when did it start being made up? When I walked into the movie theater. That's when I realized, I look up and said, those are not real people because they're giant. If his head was truly that big, he'd be Zardoz. And it'd be floating around disbodied. It's not. Oh, we are fooled by all this. Maybe that's why we have don't understand our dreams anymore, and we need dream guides. I don't mind talking you through it. Not at all. Not at all. You know what it's like, and this happens a lot. I will run into somebody who's had some sort of metal helmet grafted onto their head, and they cannot speak. They're completely helpless. But I take them by the hand, and I say, you can hear me, but I can't hear you, so just follow me, and we'll try to get that thing off your head. And I will just keep talking to keep you company, because I know it's lonely in that it's like a diving bell helmet without any window. It's windowless. It's like a diving bell helmet, but that works for the state or something. So why can't I get a window? Because you're not important. Because then you might look out and you realize, hey, I think I'm being kept from really living my life. Yes, I'll tell you why. Because we need your knowledge of just typing into the computer. We don't need you at all. We just need a thing there. I don't know why even. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you pointless? What's the point, Hardy? Why can't I do something important like farming? Well, I'll tell you what. You know, we all do what we can. That's why we have these dreams, Carl. We're going to explore some of those things. I want you to spread out in this dream. Now, I know that you've been having some really mundane ones where I'm riding in an elevator, then I get out upon a floor. Yes, that's a really dull one. We want to do something. We're going to do some flying today. That's one of the first things you're going to learn in dreams. Say people, oh, I like when I fly in my dreams. Exactly. So that's one of the most popular things we do right away. And we do it. So is it hard? Is it like CrossFit or something? Yes, there's lots of kipping flying where we just swing our body up into the air and until it stays there. No, I tell you, it's not. It's all in your mind anyway. Say, well, I'll tell you, one of the things I can't do is get any real height in my dreams, Hardy. When I fly, it's since I can hover it low, but then when I get to a height where I think the fall is fatal, I can no longer soar with the eagles. Say, well, don't pick somebody other than the eagle. Who are we talking? Football team? Band? No, the animal. I got you. I'm sorry. Because it's a dream, I immediately make all sorts of comparisons. Puns, your brain puns, even when you're asleep. Yes, that's called a shut up. I'm trying to make a point. So you make these comparisons and everything, and you make poetic combinations based on all sorts of things when you're asleep. So we don't know what's going to pop into your head. So, you know, I say sail. You could see a literal sail or a sailfish or it could be some kind of homonym of it. And you see somebody, a storefront. Oh, we're in a storefront. How did that happen? It must have been the word sail. And now here we stand. Oh, and we're trapped in the window. Why are you doing this? We're supposed to have a flying lesson. Oh, and now your lower half of your body's a mannequin. If you ever have any kind of dream where you feel like part of your body doesn't belong to you, that is a cigar, apparently. People say that Freud used to say, oh, it's probably, you're probably really thinking about a sex organ or something like that. You ever seen one of those? It's like a piano, but all the keys are naughty. But you could be thinking about any organ. Why I said there's something more, isn't there something horrible? They could be thinking about a spleen or something. You don't know. Oh, I'll tell you, when we go into the garden of our dreams and we harvest some of these nuts and we open up and we think we're going to sit, we see human brains. We must have had something bad to eat. In the story, A Christmas Carol, by Charles Dickens Darwin's. He says the main character, Ebenezer Scrooge, as played by Susan Lucci, says, I must have had a bad potatoes while I'm seeing ghosts. and say, no, you're having some sort of existential crisis because of the guilt for your sociopathic behavior. Really? Yes, I don't know why. I thought you were a psychopath. You're probably just miserable and bitter, and you're probably just bipolar, and now you're realizing, oh my gosh, all that stuff I did when I was feeling depressed or whatever, not paying Claude Scratchney. I don't remember any of the real names. Again, we're in a dream, and so I don't have all my notes. I can't get to things. Oh, what are you going to do, friend? Should we do something to make money? Do I need money in my dream? Should I be looking for a pot of gold? Why would I need it? I wake up, I can't spend it in real life. Oh, but you could spend it in the dream. It's like, I'm going to get Harry Potter bucks or something. Now I can go get myself a wand, and I can be a powerful wizard in Harry Potter world. But when I come back to real life, I've lost it all. Goes away, see, just like that in dreams. Oh, but you can own so much and just temporarily won't care about loss. Let's do the flying so we can separate ourselves from that fear right now. I want you to, now, don't jump off a cliff to get going. I don't want you to do that. I want you to go from just standing on the ground to learn how to get a little bit aloft, make yourself light, and float up and say, hey, this world, there's no distance, really. I'm always got my feet on the ground because there is no ground. Wherever I am is where I'm supposed to be. I'm always solidly in space. I can't fall and die. Well, yes, you can, but only in real life. Oh, isn't that great? You can't fall and die in your dreams. They say, oh, if I have a fall and you hit the ground in your dreams, that means you're dead. Who said that? A dead man? No, not true. If anybody's said that, then they woke up and they're a liar. Now, let me tell you something. Get a little height. Let's go. Let's go. Go. Jump up. And we're going to stay up a little bit. Jump up. We're going to stay up a little longer. Stay up a little longer. We're about 6 feet in the air. We're going to stay up. Now come down again. Now I want you to jump up. Now this time we're going to be about 20 feet in the air. I want you to stay here. Hover. Just look at me. Look at me in the eye. Don't look down. Don't look down. Just look at me. Hey, we're just talking now. We're going to go back down again. Now this next time we're going to go up as high as a high pine tree. Maybe 800 feet in the air. All right? And we're just going to stay there for a minute. We're not going to zoom around or anything. And we're going to stay near the pine tree so that you feel like I could grab onto it if need be. All right, now let's go up. We're up in the air. Now look at me. Look at me in the eye. Don't look down. Don't look down. Look at the pine tree. Look at that beautiful. Look at that bird went by. I'm just going to stay here and hover. There's no falling. I just let it all go. It's all right. Let it all go. There is no need to create a narrative. Don't create some sort of story and then he fell. This is how you tell a story. Once upon a time, there was a man. No, that's actually completely opposite. This is what you would say. Not once. Many, 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 probably. Many upon a what? Time? Time doesn't exist outside of a spatial concept. It's part of gravity or something. So many times in space, begin a story like that. Many times in space, a man or a woman or anybody or nobody at all. Many times in a space, nobody at all. Now think about that. So don't worry, you're not existing. We're just hovering here. It's all about perception. You can perceive yourself to be anywhere, anything, as long as you let go of that story. You ain't the main character. I don't want to be the subject. I don't want to be the pronoun. I don't want to be the direct object. I don't want to be the indirect object. Then to whom will I give the book? Nobody. Oh, you are the book. And this. Oh, all this sounds like spiritual gobbledygook. It's not, really. Well, yes, it is. Who am I kidding? I'm just trying to distract you from the fact that we have now been hanging up here at about 100 feet in the air with no fear of falling for how long? A couple minutes, right? So let's try to take off a little bit and just look down. So, oh, it gets so dizzy. Yes, that's because your body doesn't ever want you to fall. So when you are in danger in real life, your body's got some things that say, don't do that. A lot of people like to override them, you know, and they can, but they get a chemical comes out. And it's called the I can't say the word on the air, the oh shoot chemical. And it goes coursing through your body going, oh shoot, shoot, oh shoot, like that. And a lot of people love it. They have a taste for it. Oh my goodness, some of us, it makes sick. It's just like alcohol or something, or one of those drugs, one of those party drugs. People always, I go to a party, people go, oh, here, heart attack this. And I go, okay, what was it? No, I never do that. I always ask first. I go, what is it you're trying to give me? Now I'm going to secretly stick it down my pants and pretend I took it. And you're thinking, wow, it's working better on Hardy. Yeah, Hardy didn't need all those crazy drugs. A, I brought my own. Two, I have my imagination. Why is my imagination so unfettered? That's because I'll tell you why. Because I chewed my own foot off to get away, but tried to fetter me. I noticed that the other people's ideas and stories and narratives and expectations had caught hold of my foot as if it were a bear trap or a wolf trap. I'm not going to say chupacabra because I don't think they work on those. But one of those traps that they have them in the cartoons now that look and grab your foot and you can't get out. Now, I don't know why it doesn't just kill you, because you'd say, well, I want to come back and get the thing. I was hoping it'd be dead. But now it's just, I've just made it super angry. So that by biting into its foot and not letting go. Oh, that's horrible. Even an alligator wouldn't do that. Alligator looks at that trap and says, that's inhumane. At least I'm trying to get a lunch. Thank you, alligator. Yeah, never mind. It's just from my perspective. I know. So you may grab like that, but then you swallow. Yes. So that's different than this, that trap. But I'm caught in that trap. It has fettered me. It has controlled my movement in my dream world. I must now chew my foot off because you know what? I don't need a foot in my dreams. So I'm so attached to all these things. Pride. Hardy, look, I can't let go of who I am because I like it so much. Oh, you have, you know, people say narcissists and narcissism like it's bad. Oh, how remarkable and wonderful to fall in love with yourself. Oh, that's so convenient. I could see how it'd become problematic. So every time you pass a mirror, you go, wow, just wow, I am alone with this hottie again. And I'm going to give you everything you need. Oh, I get to go home and spoil myself again tonight. I love it. I love it. And that's the thing, is maybe then you see you can't bear something bad to happen to someone you love so much like that. So it doesn't really seem like a bad thing, but oh, you know. Anytime you think you can control something or what happens, then you're going to be doomed. And when I say doomed, I mean like doomed, like a pit. Look at this pit. I don't know what you thought that we're standing over this fiery pit now. Look down in that. It's like Dante's Inferno, but without the levels. So I see no levels. I see no rings of hell. Where are the rings? You can count. How old is hell? Eight or nine, judging by the number of rings. It's not like a tree, because it's older than that, I think. A hell tree. Oh, it's a hell tree. Well, I bet they're in Australia. That seems like they'd have something called a hell tree. This is a hell tree. Or a heli. Or something like that. See, what is that all about? It's the first tree ever. And it was made in when Australia was the only continent. They used to send animals to Australia as a sort of, as a punishment. And this is, I'm talking millions of years ago. And then that's why they got that idea. The British got everything they know from the Precambrian period. So let's act like that. Like there's only a foot of water everywhere. That's really the secret of empire, isn't it? You're acting exactly like some proto-life, aren't you? Bless your heart. Where are we? Are we still flying? I'm sorry. Hello? Did I let you get away from me? The thing about guided dreaming is everybody wants to lucid dream. Say, oh, really what I want is to latch on to some or something. In my dream, can I see, I'm looking for pleasure. Really? Let's imagine that we're on a cruise. No. Oh, we're on a cruise. Oh, and real pleasure comes mixed with other things like nausea. I like it, though. Real pleasure in your dreams is different than real life. Where are we? Oh, my goodness, what's that odor? Oh, we're in New Orleans. I kind of like it. It's interesting. It smells like, hey, somebody had a party up in this toilet like that. That's what you think, because it's a mixture of things that you would never really put them in there in your dream. You just say, oh, I want to imagine a cake that's nothing but icing. But you're missing some of the juxtaposition. You are you're rejecting the poetry at the core of things. Now, you can take any item, and I tell you, there's a poem at the center of it. Rip it open, if you can get it open. Now, physicists now know they have taken an ordinary, I'm holding an ordinary coffee mug, and they have taken it and they put it in the largely Hadron Collider. I almost said colostomy or something, colon, because a large Hadron Collider looks like a giant colon. It's as if they've taken your colon, and they say, all right, now we're going to shoot an atom or some kind of particle in your rear, and then all of a sudden it's gonna be two places at once. So how can that be? How can it go through two slits in my colon? I don't know. And I'm making things up, and I know so little about quantum theory, which is good because it's all about very little things. And so proportionately, I think I know everything. Because my little is not as little as quantum theory. I can't imagine something that small. Let's go down to that level and we can do it in our dreams, can't we? Everything is foam. Let's come back up. It looks like we're some, what's that kind of cuisine now where they just, everything is, microgastronomy. Microgastronomy. Well, I got macro guts. I can't, that's, the foam's not going to be enough, the shrimp foam. I'll shave with it. I don't know why there's not savory shaving creams. I wouldn't mind that. I say, what is this shaving cream flavor? And they say umami. I go, that's interesting. It must be some sort of fish-based thing. That's why that odor, say, what is that vaguely awful, nasty odor? Have you ever smelled something and say, I don't know whether this is the emanations of a sick person or whether it's like some kind of chicken dish or something. I've had that. You go, is that food or waste? And that is because there are some kind of combinations like that. If you work in a cheese store, this is very much to say, is somebody's feet or a really good, true camembert or something? We can't get the really ripe cheeses in this country because for some reason, it's the U.S. government's a big nanny. It doesn't want to. I don't know that that's it. I don't know that. I think somebody just went, you know what? The odor. I don't know if we can deal with the odor. I don't know if American shoppers, because we like, the reason that Americans like things that just smell nice is because we are very story oriented and not poetry oriented. You'd think, oh, how could people who live so briefly be in love with narratives, things like that? Why can't it change constantly? Why can't it be vague and refer to just mere feelings or just juxtapositions of different images, like a red wheelbarrow up against somebody's head, up against the head of a professional wrestler on a white chicken? That's what it is. That's my culture says. That's fun. I love that. Can I get that on something, a stamp or whatever? Oh, it's impossible to make stamps right now because the symbols that, as a culture that we have, go by so quickly. You see what I'm saying? So by the time they say, oh, by the time we get the technovacking on a stamp or something, we forget what it is. So Korea wanted to do that. Say, we want to make a stamp for, what's his name, with the dance. Ah, both the can't, what's his name? Exactly. But we used to have stamps say, oh, look, it's John Winthrop Harrington. So what did he do? Oh, he's one of our many founding fathers that we can't remember the names of. I know Blanton and Jefferson and McGoy and all them. But those are on the tip of our tongues. But what about the other founding fathers? And what about women? Women did nothing or something? Oh, this is when you get into stories. You forget to include certain people or you write them parts that they would normally not have. And so we create falsehoods, don't we? Oh, we are now in a world, a dream world, that has so many falsehoods that nothing can be a lie. If everything is a lie, and we are free to make mistakes, and we are free to believe the wrong things without consequences, and only in, I tell you what, only in dreams can we go and massacre somebody and then wake up and go, oh, yeah, I got to go volunteer at the animal shelter. So it's, oh, how can you contain that in one head? Oh, isn't it beautiful? We can't express those things in life, can we, have to be controlled? Yes, we do. If we want to fulfill the prime directive, and that is to survive. But there's more than one kind of surviving. There's surviving in your head, and then there's the other kind of surviving. And the headspace, that's almost infinite. So if we lay, let's go back to the beginning. We're laying in this cave. I want you to look out, and it's raining. There's a storm. Why is there a storm, Hardy? Because nothing can get you in the storm. Nothing will come out. And it's that comforting shh, like rain on a roof. Everybody says, I love that. Why is that? Because it's the whoosh of the blood going by in the womb. It's the sound of the womb. They've recorded this. And you know, one already. That's a Mel Brooks thing I just did. I felt like I needed to say that. Say, oh, listen to you. What things are in your head? Less and less. It is like my head is a library and it's on fire. And some of the, I don't even know what books have burned yet until I go to get them. I say, yes. Remember when Merv Griffin had that fellow get the, oh, his name is in the burned up section of the library. I will never retrieve it again. I took it for granted that it would always be there. That if I put a memory there, it would always be there. It would be in the same shape as I left it. I counted on it being a book. I wanted to make all my memories into stories. I remember that time when I was playing war with my little friends. We lived on a cul-de-sac and we'd go out right before dinner and you could smell pork chops in the air as everybody's family was cooking. And we gathered in this empty field near our houses. There was still a lot there. I guess nobody had built a house there yet, and we dug a shallow hole, and we pretended it was World War One or World War Two or something. I think they were all conflated in our little minds, and we were all leaning over the side of this foxhole, and I decided that I wanted to know what it was like to be sacrificed for everybody else. Say, I'm going over the wall, and I went up, and I stood up, and I pretended to be shot, and they say, oh, you're going to die. I say, yes, I'm dying. I love y'all, my comrade. I didn't say love like that. So, you know, my soldier buddies, I've done this for you. Thank you for your proud sacrifice. And then I lay there still for a minute. I was like, well, this is stupid. Now I don't get to play the game anymore. I've taken myself out of it. I know what it's like to do that. Maybe I wouldn't do that now in real life. So I don't know if I want to really go over the top because I was smelling those pork chops and I was thinking I'd like to go in and do that. And then I'm going to get to stay up late and watch a Brady Bunch or one. I don't remember time Brady Bunch and Partridge Family on at like 8:30. Now, if you got to go to bed early, so you got to get up early. Why? Because we got to go plow the fields. So plow the fields. We live in a gated community. So, well, that's how we've agreed. We're actually the servants. Really? I didn't know that. I thought we lived in a house like everybody else. Yes. But everybody else doesn't have to get up at 5 a.m. and go plant. What are we planting? I don't know. Some kind of tree. Some kind of evil death tree. Oh, I don't want to do that, Mama. I want to sleep in and watch cartoons. I want to hear the rain outside. I have no responsibilities anymore. Can you imagine that? Laying there on your deathbed. No pain. You're not in any pain. You're just laying there and you hear the rain coming down. And it sounds like maybe the whole world is going to, oh, it's all going to collapse. You say, well, that's good because then I won't go on without me. Everything else is coming to an end too. Shh. I have no responsibility. I do not have to be at work. Shh. You can go to a free place every day when you dream. But you must know how to go through your dreams.
How can I go through my dreams?
First of all, you're going to need to put something over those shoes. I've got these little paper things that go over your shoes. Why is that? Because we can't get anything could contaminate it. Everything that you experience could go in there and be a part of your dreams. Oh my goodness, could you imagine getting something on the bottom of your shoe, bringing that into your dream, and then that piece of gum gets transferred into some sort of big gum monster? I don't want that. I don't want that either. What if something else nasty is on the bottom of that gum too? Who knows what comes up? Maybe there's a tooth still attached to it. Yes, that's it. There's a crushed tooth with the gum all mixed up in it on the bottom of your shoe. Well, now in the fashion of Japanese monster movies, it is animated, it grows to 8 feet tall, and it's gum tooth thing. And you think that can't exist. I'm sure it does exist. And I'm sure it is a monster. And I'm sure my friend Michael is giving it a beautiful paint job right now. and selling it online. I say, how can that be? Because of imagination. Oh, how can you, you're touting something everybody has. Do they? Yes, they do. Do they? Yes, they do. But do they? Yes, they do. But maybe you're not activating it. Maybe you haven't activated it. Did you ever go over to somebody's house and they have an appliance? Let's say it's a washer or a dryer. And you look at it and you say, hey, you know, see that? That film is supposed to be removed when you get it. There's some things, electronics have this too, have a little layer of cellophane that you're supposed to peel off when you get it so that it can start aging. If you keep that protective layer on there, you see what I'm saying? You might keep it protected. You don't really keep it from aging, but you keep it from showing its age, its experience. Don't you want to see those coffee cup rings on that washer where you set your coffee cup down and you said, hey, I'm going to set my coffee cup down on this washer many, many times. And you think, why did you do that? I don't know, but there's the record of it. Oh, there is the patina. Go to Antiques Roadshow, say, I want this, look at this thing I have. It's covered with patina. And say, that's nasty. You should have cleaned it. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. Should we clean things? Do we need a clean slate? Or should we keep things on there? If we keep them on there, we can use them. We can recycle things. So I'm not going to throw any of this garbage away. I'm going to make it into art. Don't do that, though. That may be, you're maybe overestimating your compositional ability. Some people so have very much confidence in their vision. Say, look, I make things that look like art all the time. That's beautiful. Now, here's the trick. Can you do it with resisting the urge to then go sell it? Is what I'm saying. No, I can't. I've made it. I need to be compensated. Oh, very true. We all need to be compensated for what our bodies do, but our minds, oh, the ideas, they live here without us. The ideas, that's their, it's their world. They live here when we're gone. We come in and they use us because those ideas, they're parasitic in a wonderful way. I don't mind, oh, idea. I love the idea talking to people. I love the idea making poetry. I love the idea moving people with words. And I don't mind that it's sucking on to my breast. I don't mind that it's some sort of remora fish. And it's going to... I'm going to go along for the ride and all the things that you drop out of any of your orifices, I'm going to scoop up because I'm sucking on to your belly. Do it. Oh, I don't mind if you ride me into eternity. Oh, ideas. And then when I go, those ideas are going to leave. So I don't want to be on any rotted corpse and they leave you alone. Oh, rotted corpse. Are you sad? Is that what it is? That one, that these ideas are just using you because you're temporarily among the living. Oh my goodness, I know. But hey, here's something comforting. They own your body too. Oh my goodness, really? Yes. Even that is a manifestation of the idea world. Yes, you are nothing. And when you die, perhaps you will go and you will be fertilizer. And then I will mistakenly go to this barbaric organic restaurant where they grow their own food, not knowing that your corpse has been used to grow the kohlrabi. Here I'm eating kohlrabi, and I don't realize that it's been fertilized with human. I should have known that because of the headstones in the garden. I thought it was left over from Halloween. Isn't that cute? Look, here lies, what's this funny name, Tony Borden. That's just a name. Oh, Lord, perhaps it really is a person. Do we know what we... Oh, that's all what life is putting the dead into you, isn't it? So I don't eat vegetarian. So I don't eat... No, that's backwards. I don't eat meat. Therefore, I do not eat dead. Oh, we all eat the dead. We all eat the dead. And you can eat dead various... So I just eat dead plants. You go, well, and bugs. You're eating bugs all the time. Blah, 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 blah. They have microfied the air around us, and it's crawling with bugs. Everything's crawling with life. Look at your hand. There's other things living on it. Help us. No, little. I clap my hands, and I destroy the who's. I clap my hands, and I can't. I'm not killing the water bears, though, and they're just mocking me.
We're too small. You can't kill us. We exist in spite of you. We swim in the crevices of your hands as if they were great canals. Ha ha ha.
Say the tardigrades that I cannot see.
There's so much I can't see. Unless I close my eyes and then they can use it as a magnifying. You back in the dream with me? Do you want to do more flying? Really, really, this anything you want to do or see, we can do. I don't mind. A lot of
people love to do very pedestrian things. I'm sorry, I'm choking on myself.
It's easy to do
because I'm consuming myself. Why do you do that? Well, I get so hungry and thirsty. Now, there are animals that are auto-cannibals, meaning they eat themselves. Your cave cricket will eat its leg. Let's say its leg is trapped somewhere. Let's say in a bear trap. Let's say it wants to get away from that and does not want to be confined by other people's narratives. It will chew its foot off and say, I would rather be a one-legged cave cricket than to be a slave to some story that I didn't write. Oh, you know, a lot of times when we find ourselves wanting, we are wanting because we think we are not playing the part that wasn't even written for us. Say, oh, I'm in some sort of Beckett play, and I'm supposed to play a character called Popchk or something. I don't even know. And I can't do it, and the director's yelling at me because they say, you're not doing the Irish accent right. And I say, it's hard about it. Like that, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not Irish. The part was not written for me. I don't even understand it. I don't understand the words I'm saying. I'm failing at it. What a failure I am at being the lead in this Beckett play. Well, guess what? I never wanted to anyway. How is it that I'm here reciting lines that I did not write? Why am I speaking in an accent that is not my own? And I withdraw from the Beckett play. And I go outside in the alleyway. And I look up to the heavens, and I can see the heavens between the buildings like it's a slit in a metal plate. There's two slits, and I'm a subatomic particle, and I'm going to go through one of those slits. No, I'm going to go through both at the same time. I can do that with myself. I can do that with myself because I have quit the play. I am no longer in this Beckett play. I am in the alleyway. I am a free agent. I am a free quantum agent that can dart around the universe in all directions over all time. Nothing can stop me and nothing can contradict me. No, you can't. Oh, I tell you what, come inside my head and tell me I can't. That is where I'm ruler. I'm guarded. I'm untouchable because Hermes stands at the gate and protects me from intruders who won't get in. They will not know what goes on in my magic castle. I assume them it's often family friendly, depending on your family. Who's your family? My family's pretty wild. Come on in. I guess the children are going to grow up eventually. Here we go. Let's grow them up in one day. As long as nobody is harmed. I can't. That's just not part of my... Well, like I said, there is some massacring that goes on in my imagination. But I don't know. I don't know why. I guess we are all murderous creatures or something. I'm always ashamed of myself. I don't know how I'm provoked to anger in my dreams. But somebody is doing it to me. I guess I'm doing it to myself. But I can't. I always think, oh, if only everybody knew how easily baited I am. When I see something hanging from a hook, I don't even see the hook. I say, look at this, somebody's dangling a piece of bologna. It is my lucky day. Somebody's got a little piece of shrimp there. I guess it was a whole shrimp, but I'm seeing somebody's been nibbling the head off. Still, for a shrimp to just be hanging in midair like that is exciting to me. I don't know why I don't see the hook. The hook is so obvious. I don't know why I don't know it's a lure. The lure is so obvious. There are no purple plastic worms like that. I don't even eat them. Why am I attracted to it? Somebody has sprayed it with something they think I think smells nice. So I go after it. And now I'm on the hook. Now I'm being drawn up out of the water of my dreams into some sort of stark reality where I can't breathe because I'm not meant to breathe because I'm meant to be consumed. Don't let yourself be consumed. What are you saying? I'll tell you why I don't want to give you a message, my friend. My message is to you to create a message using the kind of gobbledygook and poems that I'm using. Do not have somebody else's, because you go to repeat it and you go, well, that's nonsense. That's because it's their dream. You go into your own dream where the world makes sense to you, and then preach to yourself. There you go. There's the answer. There's your truth. And don't worry about it. And then don't worry about trying to translate or to sell it to somebody else. I must sell everything I make. No, you must not. You don't have to. I must sell everything. No, you can keep some of it. You can hide some of your ideas. Not everything needs to be commodified. Oh, as it is, we need to commodify things just to survive. No one will give you anything free. You're not entitled to it, apparently. That seems harsh. If you were living in my house, I'd say drink all the water you can, eat all the food you can. I'm not going to deprive you of that. That's ridiculous. So, oh, well, he's not pulling his weight. I don't know what weight is there to pull. He didn't ask to be born. Bless your heart. So then you have to keep him from pain. I'm not, oh, no, no, no. Take what you need. Take what you need. If I was in charge. If I was in charge. So at least help you. Come on over. I'm not going to judge you. I can't judge you. I'll tell you why. Because I've been in my own head and I see what goes on in there. And so I can't even imagine what goes on in yours. Actually, I can imagine. Now I'm going to close my eyes and imagine a little bit. Let me sleep and drift off. When our dreams are disturbed, our waking life is disturbed. That's why I want to come in here and give you just an efficiency evaluation. Consider me just like the fellow comes from the city and looks at your HVAC, your AC, say this is not energy efficient, but we will put foam around your windows and give you 10% discount to do it. I'm that fellow, but with your dreams. Let me come into your psyche and look at things. Hey, you got stuff leaking out the window here. I would take care of that. You were letting yourself ooze through the cracks. You can think anything you want, anytime, anywhere you want. Also, say, oh, my job. How do I balance my job, all right, with something heavy, like a bowling ball? Well, which weighs more? If the job weighs more, put more in the bowling ball and balance. Things don't have to be balanced. Oh, let them ricochet all over the place. That's the best way to get balance, is drop a boulder on the bowling ball side and let your ordinary life fly up into the air, make a mess of it. Do you not accept the reality of human struggle? Hardy, yes. I think really to understand what I'm saying, you have to get all my series of books. I've written 111 books on various subjects of how to put the world right and do certain things. And if everybody would just follow them, I know that it's difficult. That's why I've also made charts and lectures, and I got videos and all sorts of things that help you live the perfect life. Go out there, memorize it now. What's that you say? You drop dead on the second day of learning it all. Oh, I'm so sorry for you. You will never achieve what you wanted to achieve. Is that nirvana? I don't know. Nirvana, after a certain period of time, that only became a name of a band. Everything that we do now, we create smaller and smaller poems until our poems became one word only. And when they're just one word, it's hard to combine more than one idea, and the things die. We must put them together and juxtapose them to get something new. You got to jam it together. That's like, say, why is a raven like a raven's cloth or whatever, raven's croft? How is a raven croft like a writing croft, writing craft, or a crofting up? So I don't know. That was first a paradox proposed by Lewis Jean Carroll, who wrote Through the Paradoxical Looking Glass. And say, he would say, why is something like something? And put two thoughts in your head. And you say, well, that doesn't make any sense. But then the two thoughts started reacting. It's like in chemistry class, say the professor says, I've got this just ordinary clump of something. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but when I add water, it's going to explode and it's going to release a poison gas, just like was released on our ancestors in World War II. Oh, you're going to inhale that and forever be deformed. Your face, you will become one of the battered, one of the legion of battered faces, the kind that were victims in World War I. Let's run out of here. Come on, we're in a war zone. We got to hide. We've all got our rifles, and now we're hiding in the basement of that house you owned in the 80s. Who's outside? Who is our enemies? Who's here? It's the four of us. It's that gal from work whose name I absolutely simply cannot remember. It is my late cousin. I think my grandmother is still here, so I don't know when this is. And you, my friend, you're here too. Oh, my goodness. And even though it's scary, I feel some kind of exhilaration that we're all together fighting the same enemies in this familiar place, the basement of a house I used to live in. You know, a lot of times I will go around and I will call up people who live in houses that I used to live in, and I'll say to them, hey, my name's Hardy White. I'm not dead, but who knows when I could die? And if I do, I'm worried that I'm going to haunt a house, one of the houses I liked. I'm going to be attached to some portion of my life. And I don't know if I'm going to haunt the house that you're currently in or not. I hope not, but I may. That's why I'm telling you my name now, Hardy White. And I'm going to tell you something about my life so you can say something to me if I ever haunt your house. You might want to put this right into the deed of the house so anybody who ever buys it knows, okay, if there's ever a ghost, just say to them, Hardy, you're going to need to leave. It's not your house anymore. Go on to the dream place. And I'll go, I know what you mean. I know what you mean, and I'll leave. No one's ever called me and said that. No one's ever said, hey, I used to live in your house, and now I'm a ghost. I wish they would. I wish people would acknowledge that they leave themselves in places they used to be, that they can't keep track of all the parts of their souls, that they are these time worms and they linger in the haunts of their past. And that's why they call them haunts, because you can't get out of it. You remain there, and in your dreams, oh, you drag it in, you reel it in. That time worm gets reeled in. Nothing yuckier than a worm on a reel. Because you're making order around something that should squirm free. So don't ever take a worm and then put it on some kind of spool. Don't do that. They don't like that. They want to be able to get dried out on the sidewalk en masse. So you go, oh, that's horrifying. What is that? Even the birds look at them and they say, I can't eat that. I don't know. I'm not a big raisin guy, they'll say. Say, a fresh grape, yes. A raisin, I know there's not a real difference. A real squirmy fat worm, dried out one on the sidewalk, not quite that hungry. What's the flavor? Umami. When we dry out our own time worms, we are left with the dehydrated shell of the expectations of our narrative, of our life. Oh, I'm writing that down. Don't. I'm telling you, don't, because I made that up. That's not true. It's not anything. I'm going to tell you what I'm doing right now, and you tell me if it's wrong. I'm just grabbing stuff. We're in an art class. That's why I see this dream seminar. We're in an art class. And I'm showing you, just grab something from over here, grab something from over here, slap it together. What's it look like? Does it give you a third idea? Don't think about it too much. Just let's jam these things together. You know, Linus Pauling once said, I don't know where I am anymore. And what he meant was, he actually said, the best way to have a good idea is to have lots of them. Which is funny, because he basically had one good one. But he said, I'm going to have lots of ideas. One of them was, mega doses of vitamin C cure the cold, or whatever. They don't. And he was right, but there's more than one strategy. Just like there's one more strategy from evolution. The strategy of having a lot so that you can have one good one is the strategy of bacteria, or the strategy of life that makes lots of copies of itself, sheer numbers, ants, what have you. The more you have, the more chance you'll have that one of them is going to make it. And then there is the philosophy of the elephant. The elephant doesn't have hundreds of thousands of babies. It has one baby. And the gestation period of an elephant, I believe, is over a year. How about that? The elephant makes quite a commitment to its reproduction. The elephant loves its baby because its baby is so precious. The elimination of this baby, the loss of this baby, is not an option. The mother clings to it. She feels great emotion for it. Intense love, because everything is riding on this one elephant baby. Now, what should be my strategy, Hardy? Well, I don't know. My granny was one of 12. She said, some of us they liked, others they didn't, or whatever. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Don't have as many as bacteria, idea-wise. Don't have just one. But maybe have about a dozen. And then hopefully one of them you're going to like. Is it that easy? I don't know. That's not the point. The point is this show itself. That is the point. The point is the media is the mezcal. Did you know that? That's what McFarlane said. What his name? Famous media person who thought of things. Marshall McFarlane, is that right? I know that the world is changing right now, and some of us don't have the same cultural, historical touch, pointed touchstones that we used to. We used to be able to say something, somebody would quote Mark Twain, and say, oh, he's quoting Mark Twain. Or, oh, this was a Greek poets and all, Greek Roman poets, people would be able to quote them, say, I know who you're talking about. In literature, there'd be all the times mention these famous poets. People would know what you're talking about. You could make Dante jokes all day long. People know who you're talking about. Say Virgil. Oh, I'll get your Virgil jokes, you know, your Virgil reference. All right? But we don't have that anymore. We have different things. They shift. So I know we're talking to. I don't know what language to use. If you don't know what language to use, whisper. Or yell. That's another one, Chava. How do I get to the train station? How do I get to the train station? Ooh. Or you could say, ooh, a la Metz. I have to go to Metz. Where's the train? I need a billet pour le train à Metz. So I barely understand what you're saying, but I can get you a ticket for a train to Metz. Thank you. I don't want to go to Metz. Why did I say Metz? I don't want to go there. I don't know why I said that. I'm going to go to Montpellier or something. Metz, I don't really want to go there. But I'll meet you there. Hey, let's meet there. You go first, and then I'll go many years later. And it's like we were there at the same time. I've done that. I have a friend that we were both lived in a city, a foreign city, but at different times. But we share stories, and it's almost like we were there at the same time. Saw some of the same people, went to the same shops. Isn't that interesting? Never saw one another. But when I think back, I keep thinking he was there. But he wasn't there. Now, he can be. I just put him in there because it's not a story. It's a poem, man. That's all. It's poetry. And it doesn't have to have an ending. It doesn't have to have a narrative. Let go of that idea, or else you'll be sucked in to be one of these characters. And you don't want to be a character. You want to be the color red, or you want to be the feeling warmth, or something like that. Or sweat on a metal object on a humid day. Be that. That's what you want to be. Oh, my friends, are you asleep yet? If you really are using this as a guided dream therapy, hopefully you've had the headphones on this whole time. You were lying quite still. You are not driving, I hope. Let's not do that. Now, some shows I've designed to keep you company while you drive. Wake up! Wake the hell up! Come on now, stay on the road. We're going to get where we're going. Let's look for one of those places that we like to eat. What is that drive-in place they don't have anymore? Let's pretend it exists. And we'll just go say, they don't have those anymore. I'm trying to even name a restaurant they don't have anymore. My brain won't let me do it. So don't, you're going to give business. Somebody's going to say, oh, they still have those. Blip it. You can't even make a sound that doesn't sound like a regular restaurant. Proppy, crickies, trumpton. What's the one that was just like that? I don't even know how to spell its name. It's difficult to come up with things, to imagine things that aren't evocative of other things. So even music sounds familiar. That's because we're on a continuum, and everything is attached to what came before. Nothing exists outside of that, and that's why everything sounds vaguely familiar, but slightly different. This radio station, I believe, specializes in things that sound vaguely familiar but are entirely different. And it can do that because it does not have to be consistent for commercial purposes. Ergo, Guglo Lots, that's Italian, or Latin rather, for therefore we got problems. We rely on you for the monies. And so we're just having a little mini money ask right now to keep us on, because we'd like to stay on the air. And there you go. So if you would please make some say, oh, I like that Hardy. I'm going to donate a little money. It doesn't have to be much. Just like you're buying albums or buying something like this. So this is a comedy albums from this essay. Oh, $7.99, the Hardy White comedy album that I bought in the bin of the big box store. And I wish I hadn't. Now I have it. But you know what I'm going to use it for? I'm going to scratch something he said. Yeah? Just like that. He's going to say, go on nose blind. No, nose blind. Like that. Just use a segment of it. Use something. Grab something. Make something useful of it. And you can, but pay a little money so it stays and everybody else can have access to it. And do that. Some people have already been so generous. I want to thank them. I thought some, thanked some people last week. I'm going to thank some new ones. Now, let me see. James and Lee. Dave and Woburn. Carlos in Wilmington, thank you so much, y'all. Kimberly in Brooklyn. Monduane in Teaneck, thank you so much. Robert in Brooklyn. David in Brooklyn. Brian in Lolita, I want to thank you so much for your comments. Oh, I love it. Thank you, Arthur in San Diego. Thank you, Brendan in Newburyport. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you, David in Gettysburg. Court in Evanston, and Scott in Minneapolis. Oh, friend Scott, thank you so much. Oh, I'll tell you what, I know who y'all are, and my heart is so full and glad because WFMU means the world to me. It is my lifeline. It's my connection to you, my friend. Many of us would never have connected if it wasn't for this station, and so it's a very important thing. And what are you listening to? Well, I'm calling it Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WFMU.org, and 91.9 in Rockland County. Oh, my friends, once again, we have made something together. We have dreamed together. We have traveled together. Oh, I want you to go on dreaming. And now you can guide your own dreams because I've made you a docent of your skull. Thank you, my friends. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you again next time. Understand Jesus.
emotions lie. Come on, go with me. Please come on, go with me. For I'm going where no sorrow will ever come. Yes, I am. Come on, come on, come on, go with me. For I'm bound for the proud promised land. Well, I said, come and go with me. Come and go with me. Be no more dying. If you just come and go with me. Whoa, no more crying. If you just come and go.
And I think my classic Davis Sisters. Here on Sinner's Crossroads on WFMU, I don't know. That's what they were singing about, Ruth Davis, little sister, baby sister Ruth Davis, and the great Davis Sisters. We also heard the Spirit of Memphis Quartet there, Come and Go With Me, on the Peacock record label, The Beautiful Black and Silver, 78 RPM Peacock record label. And we started the show, as we do every week, with the Silver Quintet's Sinner's Crossroads. Of course, this month, hearing the 78 RPM version, and I take two of that wonderful song, Mighty Fine Song. We named a show after it. 78s. This month on Sinner's Crossroads. This week, Singles Going Steady. And also this month, the Silent Fundraiser for WFMU. If you haven't heard, you do.